Hey, Warheads, welcome back to Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. I am really happy to let you guys know that this is going to be a very, very special episode of Trivial Warfare.
What's your name? You didn't introduce yourself.
I didn't introduce myself?
No.
All right. My name is Jonathan. Okay, now that I've gotten that out of the way. This is going to be the largest episode of Trivial Warfare we have ever had. In the room with me, we have John. Say hello, John.
Cheers.
We have Chris. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
We have Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jonathan.
And we have Daniel. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing?
Wonderful. On the phone, we have Mark.
Yo.
And Lev.
Hi.
Hey, guys. So, count that. We have seven people participating. What is the occasion for this? It is an all-comics Trivial Warfare Two Shots to the Head crossover.
Wow.
We are doing an all-comic book trivia episode, putting our knowledge and our friends' knowledge against Two Shots to the Head's knowledge to see who comes out on top. Now, you might be wondering what Two Shots to the Head is, so I think that's a pretty good question. Why don't we start there? Mark and Lev, can you tell us about your show?
Absolutely. We're just relaunching, actually. We're gonna change things up a little bit. It started out as a general comic book podcast, and we talk about geeky stuff, the usual films, comics, TVs, games. And it's going to focus, much to the entertainment of many people in this episode, purely on DC. So we're going to become the DC Universe show, which will be quite interesting. And we'll be relaunching next month with a focus purely on DC stuff, so TV, games. And Levitt is a new host, aren't you, sir?
I certainly am.
So yeah, that's over at twoshotstothehead.com, and it's where the geeks come.
So you got to tell me, Two Shots to the Head isn't exactly what I would consider a normal podcast name. Where does it come from?
It's ambitions that I had for my wife, actually, when we first met.
Wow.
That's not true. I'm kidding. She'll listen to this. She'll love that. It's actually a quote, a recurring theme from Batman Dark Victory, the Long Halloween follow-up. Two Shots to the Head couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Oh, is it Two-Face? Is it a Two-Face quote?
Yes, it is.
Nice. And, Mark, you also do another show, don't you? You do a show called Excellence Expected. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a bit more grown up, sadly. It's a small business show, so it's helping people define, challenge, and conquer small business issues. And it's something that I release twice a week, Monday and Thursdays, and it's just to help people in business. It helps make business a little easier, shall we say.
So don't downplay it. I read just the other day that it's been rated as one of the top small business podcasts. It's been rated as one of the top small business podcasts in the world.
Yeah, surprisingly. Yeah, thank you for noticing and mentioning it. I was pretty shocked when I got the email. But yeah, it's been mentioned in there, so I was pretty pleased about that and completely surprised.
I think that's awesome. So what are the websites, if people want to check you guys out, what are the websites they should go to?
So nip over to twoshotstothehead.com and excellence-expected.com. That'd be amazing.
Fantastic. Okay, guys, if you're interested, go check that out. I think it's time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris!
I'm about to.
Warm it up, Chris!
That's what I was born into.
Now, usually this would be Chris's time to ask a fun question.
Oh.
No, I told you I prepared my own version of this.
Dang.
So you're not doing it.
You're taking away my thunder.
I told you I prepared this.
Yeah, but I don't listen to you.
Well, that's not my fault.
Yeah.
Okay, so just so you guys know, Warm It Up, Chris, is a pre-show warm-up question that we record. No points are awarded. It is strictly for bragging rights, and we're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to go round robin. There are about 25 possible answers, and I'm going to give you each a chance one at a time to name a character created by Bob Kane for the original Batman series. If you don't name a character created by Bob Kane, you get eliminated. So we're going to go one at a time. You'll each have to name one. And
okay, is this a credit to Bob Kane? Because remember, there's a lot of people, there are a lot of characters that were created that weren't technically created by Bob Kane.
This is credited to Bob Kane and his original Batman run the Wikipedia page on the subject. Batman characters created by Bob Kane. Mark, you get to start.
We were going to go with, we're unsure, we think Commissioner Gordon.
Well, this is not we, this is each individual person.
Oh, that's me then. Sorry, man.
Commissioner Gordon. So you're saying Commissioner Gordon, and you are absolutely correct. Lev, a Bob Kane created Batman character.
Oh, now then. That's a difficult one. Because to be fair, I've not really watched or gone to any of that stuff. So this is a great start, you know, two shots to the head. Brilliant.
Oh, just give us a guess. You might be surprised. Well, he was the guy who created a lot of stuff.
Yeah, to be fair, he has. If we've gone for Commissioner Gordon, I'm going to go for Harvey Bullock.
I didn't understand that one.
I'm going to go for Harvey Bullock.
Yeah. Detective Harvey Bullock.
Harvey yes. Bullock. Let me look at my list here. My friend, you have just been eliminated.
Woohoo!
Oh, that's a great
start. Well done. Well done. Daniel.
I'm going to go with Thomas Wayne.
Thomas Wayne is correct. Bob Oakes, what do you got?
Well, that makes it easy. I'll go Martha Wayne.
You are correct, sir. He did tell the original origin story. Mr. Hollister.
Okay, can I just say the obvious Batman?
Batman is correct. Thanks. Well done.
I was like, wait, no, it's like, good Lord.
How do you feel right now, Lev?
Yeah, I've been shot down in flames.
John.
Alfred. Pennyworth, I believe.
Alfred Pennyworth is correct. Mark.
What, we've been here? Gordon, again.
No.
No, it's a new one. Different one.
A different one. Okay, who's in the early ones? I'm going to say Joker.
The Joker is correct. Daniel.
I am going to say the Penguin, Oswald Cobblepot.
The Penguin is correct. Bob.
I'm going to go Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson is correct. The original Robin. Chris.
Very nice. Let's see here. Now it's starting to get a little bit on the tougher side. I'm going to say Barbara Gordon.
Sorry, that is incorrect.
All right.
John.
Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne is Batman. Already been used.
Red Hood.
Red Hood is incorrect, my friend.
We're the first team eliminated.
All right, Mark.
I'm going to go the Flying Graysons.
Flying Graysons, they were not listed.
Uh-uh.
So I have to say no. It's possible that he told the origin story, but they weren't listed as true characters he created. It's down to Daniel and Bob. Daniel.
I'm going to say Edward Nigma the Riddler.
Edward Nigma is incorrect.
Oh.
Bob, all you have to do is name one character that Bob Kane created that hasn't already been said to win Warm It Up, Chris.
Oh, great. I was going to say Edward Nigma.
That's still incorrect, Bob.
I'm going to say Catwoman.
Catwoman is correct.
Yay.
Bob Oakes wins Warm It Up, Chris.
With an assist from his partner. Well done.
The rest of the list. Two-Face.
Oh, wow.
Jonathan Crane, the Scarecrow. Basil Carlo, Clayface. Jervis Tetch, Mad Hatter. Hugo Strange, the Cavalier, the Monk. Sal Maroni, Tony Zucco, Joe Chill, Deadshot, Vicky Vale. Batgirl character was Elizabeth Kane. Batmite, which I believe was some kind of animal.
Mm-hmm. No, that was he's like Mr. Mixoplex.
Yeah. Oh, he was an imp. That's right. Imp. And then Martha and Thomas Wayne. So there were some obvious ones y'all didn't get there. That's a scary beginning for our show. All right. So we're going to go into round one. Is everybody ready?
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah.
The first category in round one is movies. What movie released in 2006 was based on a 1998 Frank Miller comic with the same name?
Okay, we're
John,
locked in. Okay.
John and Chris are shaking their head
locked
in agreement.
In.
Okay, you're locked in. Brits, are you guys locked in?
Yeah, we're locked in.
All right. Okay, everybody's ready. So, Team Britain. that's easy to say. Team Britain, what are you thinking right here?
Well, Hope is this one, because this is one of my favourite films. I understand that it is a sequel. So we've decided we're going to go for Sin City.
Sin City. Okay, I'm not going to let you know if you're right yet. Team Colonials. This is Bob and Daniel. What you can't change it. It's whatever you wrote down originally. What did you write down originally?
We also wrote Sin City.
Okay.
And John team, and I went for the trifecta. Team America, because we have no really good team name to use.
Well, I think Team America is a wonderful name.
We also went with Sin City.
Everybody went with Sin City. Sin City is incorrect.
300.
The answer is 300.
Dang it, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
John nailed it, and I...
Right after they said Sin City, that you realized it was 300, didn't you?
My son was born in 2005, and I went and saw Sin City about a week after he was born.
Oh.
And that occurred to me like 5 seconds after I lost
it. And I always equate 300 as in being done in like 2009 or so. I did not realize it was that long ago.
Mm.
See, and John said it. He said it, and I waved him off, so...
Oh,
yeah, we're batting 1,000 here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Great movie. And that became an event for me because I got married in 2007. I waited for it to come out on video and I sent the family away. And I moved the recliner right up next to the TV and I watched it with my food on one side, my pints on the other. And it was fabulous.
How close to the TV did you move the recliner?
4 or 5 feet.
Wow.
I wanted the experience.
I guess so. Either that or you wanted to be like in the front row of the movie theater.
I love that. Yes.
All right, question 2. The category is first appearances. The supervillain known as Bane made his first appearance in comics in 1993. I want you to tell me the name of the movie where he made his screen debut.
Now, when you say movie, is this theatrical release?
Yes, theatrical release. Live action theatrical release. Boy, you guys are all serious. Nobody's making jokes about these. Everybody's like,
oh no,
it's competitive.
No, it's okay. Has everybody locked in?
Are you locked in?
We're locked in.
You locked in?
We're locked in.
All right, Team Britain, what are you thinking?
Now we can pick on the movie.
Yeah. This is probably my favorite representation of Batman on screen.
Oh my God.
My word.
Are you,
no, I'm joking. I just to see the thing.
I was about to say, I'm assuming you got it wrong if that's the case.
It's the 1960. No, I'm joking. It's the fantastic Batman and Robin.
1997. Okay, what do you got?
We also have Batman and Robin by Joel Schumacher.
And what do you guys have?
Yes, we also have Batman and Robin by the craptastic Joel Schumacher.
It was the stink fest known as Batman and Robin. Do you guys remember what Bane was like in that movie?
He didn't say anything. He's like...
He was just like a background henchman. It was so embarrassing.
I think wasn't he played by a professional wrestler?
I think he was. I don't remember which one.
That's just what happens when you let professional wrestlers into the movie genre.
Oh.
Oh.
So
I'm talking to you, Dwayne Johnson.
Was it that?
I am not talking to you, Dwayne, because you're significantly bigger than I am.
And better looking. Let's just be frank.
too soon? But Dwayne Johnson's going, hey!
Come on.
What do I do?
Because Dwayne Johnson listens to this show,
yes,
I'm sure.
He does.
He's like, those guys.
He's going to be a phenomenal Black Adam.
Hey, maybe. Yeah. So, if I remember correctly, wasn't that the one that was like X Games influenced, where they're like skating down stairway rails on skateboards?
It looked like
and
it
stuff?
Took place in an 80s arcade. It was horrible.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yep. It was like they used the leftover sets from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Exactly. Who played Mr. Freeze in that movie, by the way?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's not a tumor.
All right.
There's a freeze coming.
That's horrible.
Your round one, third question, is in the category of artists. What highly acclaimed artist did the art on Marvel's popular 1994 storyline, fittingly titled Marvels? Team Colonials, y'all locked in?
We are.
Team America's locked in?
Yes, sir.
All right.
We just need some dramatic noise.
You guys are still thinking?
No, we're just looking down.
You got time to think if you need it. We don't rush.
We're good.
Don't know the answer anyway. There's no point
we're just guessing.
Oh, you're going to
It's a Marvel question. Come on, man.
They're going to hate themselves when they get it because you know these companies cross-pollinate. All right, Team Britain, what's your guess?
We're going to say Alex Ross.
Alex Ross, okay. Team Colonials, what do you got?
We've also got Alex Ross.
Okay, what do you guys have?
Great, Scott, Alex Ross.
Alex, and why do we think that it's Alex Ross?
Because he's phenomenal.
What tipped me off was the fact that on the title page of the comic, they signed his name, Alex Ross, as the artist.
You are correct. The answer is Alex Ross, also better known probably for his work on Kingdom Come, which was a much more popular DC series.
I don't know about the most much more popular. Maybe DC series, sure, but Marvels was one of the big. I mean, was one of the biggest books that was out that year.
Do you think Marvels was better than Kingdom Come?
Jonathan, do you have those sales numbers handy?
I don't actually. Okay. Just opinion.
You're terribly prepared for this, Jonathan.
I'm very torn by that because I like both stories, but for completely different reasons. Because Marvel's wasn't really a superhero story. It was more telling the background of all the superhero stuff, which was really kind of neat. Whereas Kingdom Come was just the bleakest of the bleak, dark, nasty story.
It was actually a story. Which is why it's better.
Hold on. Time out here. Have you even read Marvel's?
Yes.
And you're still saying that.
I'm the one who came up with the question over here. I had to know about it.
All right.
All right. After round one, all of our teams are tied 20-20-20.
Oh, it's not 1 point a question. Thanks for that, Jonathan.
It is 10 points per question.
I've got to change my entire writing system now.
I would advise just adding a zero.
Fine. Be like that.
Unless you're doing this in kilometers. In that case, I don't know how to help you. All right, round two. Your first question is an actor's question.
Brilliant.
But none of us are actors, Jonathan.
Act like it.
Okay.
Wow.
Which actor, currently raking it in as a member of the Avengers, starred in as a completely different character in a previous major motion picture based on the Marvel Universe? I will repeat that because it was a little complex. Which actor, currently raking it in as a member of the Avengers, starred as a completely different character in a previous major motion picture based on the Marvel Universe? I think our two teams in-house are locked in. Team Britain?
We're locked in.
All right, Team Britain, what are you thinking?
Yep.
We think it is that skinny kid from Captain America, the guy that looks like he needs to eat more. Is it Chris Evans?
All right, they're saying Chris Evans. What do you guys think?
The Colonials, we're going Chris Evans as well.
All right.
And you know Team America is going Chris Evans as well.
The answer is Chris Evans. What movie did he play in before he played as Captain America? Bob, what do you got?
Yeah, he was Human Torch and the Fantastic Four.
You know, based on my experience watching those movies, I didn't think any of them were really fantastic. I think they should rename it just The Four. What do you think about that?
Or
should be just below average Four, I think. Actually.
I was thinking
the mediocre Four.
Well, I always think of the Cracktastic Four, but that's okay.
Now, as many things as those movies got absolutely wrong, their Johnny Storm, Ben Grimm dynamic, I thought was spot on. That kind of genial rivalry that the two of them have.
Yeah.
I really thought that Chris Evans and Michael Chiklis played that very well.
I'll give Chiklis credit. I liked him as the Thing.
And I completely agree with Daniel on that. Chiklis is the man. I mean, there's very little that dude can do wrong.
I'll be honest, though. Chris Evans, I think that neither of those, as much as I love Captain America, my favorite comic book inspired movie he was in was The Losers. I loved his character in that.
I've never heard of The Losers. What was it about?
Bunch of losers.
I was figuring that was the answer. Wait, what's The Losers? Tell me about it.
It's like a crack team that goes in and does things, and they were kind of became the scapegoat for the CIA, and they have to kind of redeem themselves from behind the scenes. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was an old Image comic.
It did get kind of buried, though, because it came out around the same time as the A-Team, which I think had a bigger name brand recognition, and they were both very similar storylines. So it did kind of get buried at the theaters by some bigger name movies.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever heard of that one. All right. Question two is a question about record setters. A new record was set in 2014 for the most expensive single issue of a comic book. The book sold for $3.2 million. Give me the name of the book and the issue number for the most expensive comic book ever purchased. Team America is locked in. The Colonials are talking it over. Team America enjoying a frosty beverage.
Exactly.
All right, Team Britain. Oh, you're still thinking about it.
Yeah. We're mulling the number over.
Can you read the question again?
I was just about to offer that. Record setters. A new record was set in 2014 for the most expensive single issue of a comic book sold. The book sold for $3.2 million. Give me the title of the book and the issue number.
Now, that was an aftermarket price, right? That was not cover price?
Can gotcha. You imagine going to the comic book shop and go, wow,
oh, man, $3.2 million? Mom, yeah, Mom's can like, I have $3.2 million?
You better start mowing some yards, son.
Okay, we're locked in. I think we're locked in.
We're locked in.
All right, everybody's in. Here we go. Team Britain, what do you think is the most expensive comic book ever purchased?
This is on your head. This is on your
head. We struggle with this one because I remember it jumping back and forth. I think I might have just had another idea, actually.
It's too late now.
But we're locked in.
Well, since nobody else has talked, you do have the choice. I mean, if you say something different, I'm not going to hold it against you.
I'm torn between the obvious, the first Batman appearance, the first Spidey appearance, but we're just going to go obvious with Action Comics 1.
Action Comics number 1, okay. Team Colonials, what are you thinking?
We're going to stay with Action Comics, but we're going to go Action Comics 15.
Action Comics 15, okay.
Wow, okay.
And Team America.
Well, I mean, of course, we could go Amazing Fantasy number 15, which was Spider-Man's first one. And then, of course, you had Detective Comics, I think, what was it, 39 or something like that. Yeah. That was Batman's. But we are going with the Brits, Action Comics number 1.
The answer is Action Comics number 1.
Nice.
The initial Superman appearance. The first appearance of Superman.
What was Action Comics 15?
I was just wondering that.
I was thinking Action Comics 15 was the first Superman.
Oh, no.
Oh, you got the Amazing Fantasy.
Yeah.
Oh, you mixed up Spider-Man, Superman.
Yes.
That's exactly what happened.
See, given when the date was, I was thinking it might have been the first Avengers because the Avengers movie had just come out and was very popular. Yeah. And I thought maybe that had
It wasn't really long enough ago, though, to be as rare to find a good condition quality cover. All right. Your last question of round 2. Category is heroes.
Don't need another hero.
Actually, you do need a hero this time. What well-known Marvel Comics character was created by Steve Ditko and made his first appearance in 1963's Strange Tales number 110? What well-known Marvel Comics character was created by Steve Ditko and made his first appearance in 1963's Strange Tales number 10? Team America has made their selection.
So are we. We're locked in.
We're locked
in. Team Britain has made their selection.
Locked.
Bob and Daniel from the Colonials is thinking it over.
I think we're locked in.
All right. We are locked in. Lev, what are you thinking? Which hero made his debut in Strange Tales 110 after being created by Steve Ditko?
Well, Mark wrote this down, so it's all on him. This is all on him. He's taking the reins on this one this
week. Always the way.
But we're going to go with the Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer. Mark's already disagreeing with himself. I see him shaking his head.
I don't read the coloring books.
You may kick yourself in a minute. Let's see.
You guys are killing me.
All right, Colonials.
We're going to go with Doctor Strange.
All right, Americans.
Speaking of another movie coming out, Stephen Strange.
You are correct. The answer is Doctor Stephen Strange. There was a clue in the question, obviously, because it was called Strange Tales.
We thought it was too obvious, Jonathan, but we're just idiots.
It would have been pretty darn hard if the clue hadn't had the word Strange Tales in it. If I'd have just left it at created by Steve Ditko in 1963, that's too hard for me.
Well, in the early days of Marvel, all the characters debuted in Tales to Astonish or Strange Tales. I mean, everything was some serial book, and then the characters just caught on.
Well, and a lot of the characters were created in 61, 62, and 63. They're all jumbled in there. Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Avengers, all of those are in that 3-year period.
Oh, and by the way, Mark, Fantastic Four was where Silver Surfer first appeared.
Oh, we'll write that down. Please tell me that's a question later.
It very well could be a question later.
Trust me on this. Don't ever say anything, because potentially it could be a question later.
Hands across the water, man.
All right, after the end of the second round, the scores are Team Britain, 40. Colonials, 40. Team America, 50.
Wonder Twin powers activate.
Form of
water.
Form of
shape of a winner.
All right. Your first category in the third round is writers. What superstar writer popularized the comic book Animal Man in the late 1980s? What superstar writer popularized the comic book Animal Man in the late 1980s?
Pretty sure.
Colonials are locked in. Americans are locked in.
Well, Octane,
Team Britain is locked in.
This is a Daniel wheelhouse question, if there's ever one.
You guys answered this pretty quickly here. This is one of my favorite writers, by the way.
Me too.
All right, Team Britain, what are you thinking about the superstar writer who popularized Animal Man?
We were kind of unsure about this one, but we went with Mr. Alan Moore.
And what if you're going back and forth? What was your other option?
It's a bit of a weird one because we were kind of jumping on DC in the 90s and looking at all that kind of stuff, and I weren't sure about that one. We were going to say Grant Morrison, but it feels way too late. So we went with Alan Moore for his kind of series that he did, which shaped Animal Man. But I've got a niggling feeling I've just got the name wrong.
Okay, so we have an Alan Moore from the Brits. Colonials, what are you thinking?
We went with Grant Morrison. We were a little torn too because Ellis, Morrison, and Moore, they all kind of had that darker, gritty style and were all kind of getting popular around that same time. But we're going to go with Grant Morrison.
All right. Team America?
We also went with Grant Morrison because we like the Scots. So Alan Moore is phenomenal. Probably my all-time favorite, but it was not Alan Moore.
Wow. Oh, no. Throwing down the gauntlet. The correct answer is Grant Morrison.
We nearly went with that, but the dates just didn't feel right. But they were right. Touché.
Grant Morrison was doing a lot of the Image kind of stuff on the DC imprint.
Well, as I remember, Grant Morrison, they gave him Animal Man as a throwaway character just to see what he could do. Mm. And as he popularized the character, they gave him more and more stuff.
You are absolutely correct. All right. Second question in the third round. Music. This will be the only music question we have today. It was the only one I could come up with.
Thank God.
Well done.
I can't believe you found a music question.
I know.
What 1969 song that hit number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 charts was released by a fictional band based on a popular comic of the time? And I will repeat that.
Yes.
What 1969 song that hit number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart was released by a fictional band based on a popular comic book of the time? I finally asked a question that's making everybody really think. I'm so proud of myself.
All right. We're locked in.
All right. Team America's locked in. You guys have a mute button over there.
Yeah, we have.
I didn't know that. I was like, well, they're talking and I can't hear them. I'm super jealous.
Yeah, we have mute. And we are locked in with absolutely nothing.
Oh,
They're mouthing their answers to them.
Okay. Colonial's locked in?
Ish.
Ish.
Yeah. Ish. Ish.
All right. So I asked this question. What 1969 song hit number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and was released by a fictional band based on a popular comic of the time? So is the name of this song?
Well, we went back and forth. My first thought was Surfing with the Alien, but Joe Satriani was not a fictional band.
He's a real person.
That was a real person, so that kind of stumped me. Then we were torn between the theme to the Spider-Man cartoon series and the Batman Adam West TV series. But we're going to go with the Adam West Batman theme.
The that one?
Yep, that's the one we're going
okay.
with.
Okay. Team America, what do you think?
Now, I asked John to trust me on this one because maybe this is going to end up screwing us in the end on this question because I took the question a whole different and I said it was the Archies, Sugar Sugar.
Okay. Team Britain, what are you thinking?
We had nothing. We don't know music past 82, and we're way too English for this.
You guys are so freaking young. This was during the British invasion.
Oh, I should have called my granddad. He'll remember that. Oh,
so young. The answer, Sugar Sugar by the Archies.
Yeah!
Wow. You're right. The Archies. So literally... The Archies were popular, right? And they were doing like a TV movie that they were releasing and they did a song. They put a band together, in real life. They weren't the Archies, obviously, but they got musicians. They recorded the song and it was a part of this fictional movie thing and it was great and people loved it and it made its way up the charts.
Wow.
I think it would have been awesome if would have been a charting hit though. That would have been fantastic. All right, the last question of the third round. Villains. What evildoer is pictured standing off against the Avengers on the cover of the original Avengers number 1? What evildoer is pictured standing off against the Avengers on the cover of the original Avengers number 1? Originally, when I was pulling this question together, all right, Team America's locked in. When I was pulling this question together, I thought, no, that's too easy. And then I looked, I was like, oh my God, I didn't remember that. It's actually pretty hard to remember.
Are you guys still talking about it, or is everybody locked in?
Nobody's locked in except for you.
Okay.
No, we're locked in.
The Colonials are locked in? Okay. They still have time.
All I know is the Brits are wondering, where's their DC questions at?
There was a Grant Morrison question about Animal Man to start this round.
Yeah, yeah. But it was Animal Man.
It's DC.
That's not the proper DC.
All I know is, like, there used to be this, like, DC cartoons that Cartoon Network here did. And they did these, like, little DC shorts in between the commercials of the episodes. And one of them was Animal Man. And so every time I hear about Animal Man or get this question, all I hear is the song that they have in the background going, Animal Man! And I just cannot get it out of my head to save my life right now.
That reminds me of Flash!
Ah! See, what I want to know is why when Bruce Timm did his very excellent Justice League TV show, he had all these characters to draw from, and when he needed a character with animal powers, he went with Buona Beast instead of Animal Man.
or Changeling. Changeling from Teen Titans could have been a good... That's his name, right? The green one?
Yeah.
Or Vixen. Or
Beast Boy. Beast Boy.
Yeah. Actually, Vixen was in the Justice...
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, there's a lot to choose from, really, when you think about it.
But I mean,
and he went with what?
Buona Beast.
What is Buona Beast?
That's exactly my point.
He's a wannabe Buona Beast.
Wow.
His power is that he can like take two animals and smoosh them together into one thing.
I can too. It's called a ball. An animal ball.
So he can like take a spider and a horse and magically combine them into an 8-legged spider silk spinning horse. That's like the gross. Creepiest, weirdest power ever.
Okay.
All right. On that note,
Team America, you have an answer to the question.
We do, as a matter of fact. John, why don't you take it?
We went with the obvious, Loki.
Loki. Okay. Team Britain, what are you thinking?
We're not old enough for this. We hit up Mandarin.
You've seen this book before. Tell me you're not old enough.
No, yeah. No, we have. We went with Mandarin, though, which is a terrible answer. We know that.
Okay. Team Colonials, what do you got?
Yeah. We went with the obvious, too, Loki.
So the correct answer is Loki. Why is that the obvious to you guys?
Well,
that was not. It wasn't obvious to me when I thought of who was the Avengers' biggest villain. I wouldn't have said Loki.
No. You didn't say biggest. You said at the beginning. But he framed the Hulk, right. And that's how they all got together. And
so
formed.
You know the storyline.
Oh, bloody yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, there's the tip off that they used him in the first Avengers movie.
Yes. Hint.
Now, interestingly, if you pay attention to it, what you'll see is he's not actually on screen on the main cover. You only see a bit of his horns and a hand with the green on it. So it's not like...
Now I remember the cover.
Yeah, he's off to the bottom left in there. All right, we're going to go into the midpoint question. This is going to work a little bit different than the other questions. I'm going to give you a question that has 5 possible answers. I'm going to want you to give me 4 of them. And they're worth 5 points each. So you need to give me 4 out of 5, and each one that you name will be worth 5 points. The scores after round 3. Team Britain with 40. Team Colonials with 60. Team America with 80. Did I get that right, everyone?
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
You
yes.
did forget to mention that Team America has a tendency to cheat.
Hey!
Is this something I'm missing?
I'm sitting here watching Christopher. He's got Google on his phone.
But his phone is in his pocket.
That's a Google glass he's wearing.
It's a radio show, man. You don't have to tell people the truth.
All right. Your midpoint question. In 2009, IGN did a list of the top 100 comic book villains of all time, spanning all universes. For 5 points each, I need you to name 4 of the top 5. Top 100 villains of all time. All universes. And continuities.
Man, there is just a serious, serious overtone here.
Do you have your answers? Are you good?
Actually, I need him to cross out 1.
Okay.
Because we got 5 written down. We just need 1 locked out. Nobody's willing to pull the trigger.
Just out of curiosity, what was this rated on? Was this rated based on popularity or power level? I mean, what was the...
That's a good question.
What was the rate? What was their criteria for rating them?
It was not stated, but based on the list, I would say that it was not based on power level. It was based more on the...
Popularity?
I wouldn't say popularity either. I would say impact as a villain.
Yeah, if I remember, it seemed more recognition. Like, this is the person you automatically think of when you think of certain comic villains. This mainly draws to mind.
Wait, you saw this list?
Online, not in the
and
book.
And you don't remember?
I don't memorize. Come on, I barely remember what I ate today. I've eaten 6 times.
All right, Team America looks locked in.
We're locked.
Team Colonials locked in?
We're locked.
All right, Team Britain?
Yeah, I think we're locked in.
Locked in. All right, I'm going to start with you, Team Britain. I want you to name 4 villains that you think are would have been on the top of IGN's top 100 list.
Well, one of the obvious ones that sticks out, that we're looking forward to the new Suicide Squad, is the Joker.
Okay.
We're also going to go for Superman's arch nemesis, Lex Luthor.
Okay.
I'm going to roll with the guy who's just likes metal. I'm going to go Magneto.
All right.
Just likes metal.
Yeah, it all sticks to me. It's something attractive.
What do you mean he likes it?
It's
attracted to him. Man, I need some metal.
He's attracted to him. It fancies him.
He was a headbanger in the 80s. He liked metal.
Yeah, I see.
I need the metal.
And then we're going to go for also the lovely and beautiful Two-Face.
All right. So I heard Magneto, the Joker, Two-Face, and Lex Luthor. That was your 4?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Team Colonials, who are your 4?
All right. We've got, for Marvel, we've got Ultron and the Red Skull. And representing DC, we've got Lex Luthor and the Joker.
Okay. And Team America, what do you have?
Following that theme, the 2 we had for DC was also the Joker and Lex Luthor. But for Marvel, we went with Magneto and Doctor Doom.
Okay. Your top 5, according to IGN. Galactus.
Ooh.
Ah, nearly had that.
Lex Luthor. The Joker. Magneto. And Doctor Doom.
Ooh. Oh. Nice.
Rounding out the top 10, we had... The next 5 were Darkseid, Ra's al Ghul, Loki, Dark Phoenix, and Kingpin.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
All Marvel and DC. They didn't go...
They didn't go anywhere else.
And no Dark Green Horse Goblin. Damage. I was surprised.
No Green Guy, no Red Skull either.
Because I had Green Goblin written down, and we were trying to figure out which of the which one to knock out. And John was like, I really don't think he's in.
And where was Omni-Man in that list? That's what I want to know.
Right?
Sure. That's what.
What, am I the only guy who reads Invincible? Come on.
What? Really?
I've got it there. Really? Actually,
Chris turned me on to that.
Actually, remember, do you guys read Invincible?
We've just started it.
It's really good.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I've heard it's really, really good. It gets recommended so much.
Yeah. Very meta. The first 10 episodes or issues or so, it feels like you're reading a comic book about a comic book. It's kind of weird like that. But slowly but surely, the writing gets you, and it's actually really good.
Yeah, and Invincible just blew me away. I mean, I heard it about it on another comic podcast that I listened to. I've shared it with John. I've shared it with Jonathan. I know, Daniel, you and I have talked about it quite a bit. It's a great book. Yeah.
And I was reluctant because it looked, looking at the cover and hearing one person I know speak about it at first, it seemed cheesy to me or just a little too. At the time, I was reading The Walking Dead, and I'm like, yeah, that's not a comparison. But he gave me his to borrow, and I'm so glad he did.
Yeah. After the midpoint, I had 15 points for the Brits, I had 10 points for the Colonials, and I had 20 points for the Americans. If it weren't for missing the very first question, the Americans would have a perfect game. Sorry about
that,
guys.
Which would be completely blown.
So that is 65 for the Brits, 70 for the Colonials, and 100 for the Americans.
We actually went with John's answer for 300, like he said, we would be having the perfect game, but I'm the one that blew it.
All right, round 4, your first question is going to be a storylines question. Whose murder kicked off the DC storyline known as Identity Crisis? I want the first and last name.
We're locked in.
The Americans are locked in.
As are we.
The colonials are locked in.
You didn't even finish answering the question and we were there.
As soon as I said identity crisis, everybody in the room started writing.
As much of a Marvel fan as I am, this is my favorite miniseries of any of them that have ever been done.
Really?
Yes.
Ever?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously?
What? Absolutely.
I agree. God,
agreed. I'm with definitely. You.
Yeah. Well, it gets a lot of bad rap for darkening the universe, but it was all crap before then.
Says the person who doesn't remember anything before 1982.
That's my all, man. Leave me alone.
All right, so let's start with the colonials. What do you have?
We are going to go with the wife of the elongated man, Sue Dibney.
Sue Dibney. Americans, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Sue Digby. It's Digby.
So this is, if you have a difference, one of you is going to be right and one of you is going to be wrong. Don't correct him if you think you're right, and don't correct him if you think you're right. I heard Digby. Do you stand by that?
So yeah, that's how we both.
Okay. And Brits, what do you got?
I will tell you it is not Sue Digby. It's Sue Dibney.
Sue Dibney is correct. Dibny. Sue Dibney. So that is a sad, sad loss of points for the Americans.
I'm gutted, Jonathan. We have a point.
Yeah, right. Hey, y'all are on a come up.
Man, that frustrates me.
All right. Your second question in round four. Record setters. I can already hear the Brits cringing. What is the single best selling comic book of all time in terms of number of copies sold? Single best selling comic book of all time in terms of numbers of copies sold.
We're locked in.
The Americans didn't even want me to finish reading it.
I think we're locked in as well.
Us too.
Everybody's locked in. Okay, so we'll start with Team America. What do you got for me, Chris?
Okay, we got X-Men number one, which sold over 7 million copies.
X-Men number one, okay. Team Britain, what are you thinking?
I remember this because Jim Lee started his X-Men run on that comic, I think. And we put X-Men number one as well, which is right there.
It's somewhere on that piece of paper.
On some piece of paper that may or may not be related to this quiz.
All right, Colonials, round it out. What did you answer?
We actually went in a totally different direction.
Okay.
We went with The Death of Superman.
The Death of Superman. All right. So here we go. Number one with over 7 million copies sold, 1991's X-Men number one.
Boom!
With the five variant covers.
High five.
So rounding out the top five, because I figured you would ask. X-Force number one is the second at over 5 million.
Really?
Superman 75, Death of Superman with 3 million. Spider-Man number one in 1990 by Todd McFarlane at 2.5. That was the variant covers where they had like the silver foil,
the gold foil
spider webs.
Yep.
And last, the fifth one, Spawn number one at 1.7 million.
By Todd McFarlane.
Donkey Hat?
Yes, Donkey Hat.
Donkey Hat Todd McFarlane.
I apologize.
See, y'all were worried about me bringing the language.
I apologize.
Chris is the potty mouth today.
I apologize. I just am... I don't like Todd McFarlane. I really... The guy is just a big... He's just a big...
Oh, my God, Chris.
He is. That was one of the reasons...
What did he do to you?
Well, when he left Marvel, all he did was just... try to tear Marvel down as a comic book company. And I know you guys think they're the coloring book company. I get that. But you don't ever trash your employer on your way out. And that's something that he did.
One thing I will say in defense of Todd McFarlane, since there's a lot of hate in the room right now.
Okay, I'll get rid of my hate.
Is Todd McFarlane's unique style kind of kicked off the individualization of comic artists. They used to have drawing books, how to draw comics the Marvel way, how to draw comics the DC way. Everything was very cookie cutter. Up until guys like Todd McFarlane, God help me, Rob Liefeld.
Or the guy who can't draw feet.
Yes.
Exactly right.
He just does little lines at the bottom of people's legs.
Puts 152 teeth in everybody's mouth.
Yeah. And as Mark was saying, Jim Lee as well.
Jim Lee. It was those guys that really started the popularity of having very distinct individual styles for their artists.
Very interesting. All right, what do we got? We are...
Last question of the fourth round.
Last question of the fourth round. It is a movies question. What foul-mouthed comic book character appeared alongside Leah Thompson in a 1986 major motion picture?
Locked in.
Got it.
Team America and the Colonials are locked in.
Hopefully this will redeem me for the
I'm really interested in whether it seems like you guys are both really confident. I'm interested in if this made it over to Britain or not. So we're about to find out.
Yeah, we're locked in.
Yeah, terribly locked in.
This craptastic movie.
All right, I liked this movie.
What?
Well, I was like 10.
Okay. This movie made Batman and Robin look like Oscar bait.
No, definitely not. Now, Green Lantern, it's right on par with the recent Green Lantern for me. So, Team Britain, what are you thinking? 1986, Leah Thompson and...
Go on, I'll let you smash that out, because I'm ashamed to say it.
We sort of went with a guy that annoyed people at the end of Guardians, Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck, okay. American teams, what do you got?
We agree, it was George Lucas's biggest flop.
Was it George Lucas?
It was a George Lucas movie.
Oh my God.
He executive produced it. Yes, it was Howard the Duck.
The answer is Howard the Duck. Did anyone catch the clue in the question?
What, besides Leah Thompson?
The bill?
Foul-mouthed comic book character? Foul?
Oh, man. Really?
It is written on my screen, F-O-W-L.
And wow. With that, Jonathan is no longer allowed to host this podcast.
All right. Now, Team Britain, you went from missing everything in round 3 to getting everything right in round 4.
Woo.
You have jumped to 95 points. The Colonials are at 100 even. And the Americans are still in the lead at 120. Tight game. Okay, round 5. It's a characters question. Characters. Please give me the name of the leader of Image Comics' popular Gen 13 team. Please give me the name of the leader of Image Comics' popular Gen 13 team.
Codename?
I don't know the code name.
What kind of a podcast are you running here? You don't even know the answers to your own questions.
It's written down on my phone right here in front of me.
And that makes it automatically true?
Yes, I researched it this morning.
Okay. Wikipedia?
I honestly don't think the person had a code name. It was not brought up in any of the things I reviewed.
Huh.
Well, locked in, Jonathan.
All right. Are you locked in?
No.
Oh, the Americans are thinking it over.
I'm actually, it's not really much thinking it over.
Oh, wow. Did I stump everybody?
Very well. I don't think you stumped the Brits.
Yeah, they're locked in.
They seem locked in.
Are you guys locked in over there?
Jonathan, is this like Jeopardy where we can just give the character's last name?
I'll take just the last name if you give me just the last name.
All right, yeah. Okay.
We're going to give it our best guess.
All right, so I'm going to go with the Colonials first. Colonials, what do you have? What's your best guess?
We had no idea, so we're gonna play the odds here and say it was John Smith.
Are you going game theory? Going John Smith?
Yeah.
John Doe.
Like 75% of the people on the planet are named John Smith, so
all right.
Playing the numbers.
Team America, what do you got?
Fairchild.
Fairchild, all right. And Team Britain, what do you have?
Is it Caitlin Fairchild?
It is Caitlin Fairchild.
Oh, my God.
Wow, you are absolutely correct.
Yeah, I say give them 2 bonus points for that junk. That's outstanding.
If you don't remember, she was the female character that dominated the covers of comics in the early 90s. And they just couldn't keep your eyes off of her as you walked by.
Well, that was Wildcats. I mean, no, that
it was not Wildcats.
That was Gen 13. So that was that Jim Lee also?
Wildstorm was owned by Jim Lee, and he started it, but it was an Image imprint for Gen 13.
No, I was meaning the artist on it.
And she was brought into Superboy in the New 52. She's the lead in Superboy.
Is she really?
Oh, wow.
She's one of the Wildstorms, yeah.
She's popular, man.
That was so left field, I was in the bleachers eating popcorn.
Okay. Second question of round 5. Which superhero team had a failed television pilot episode produced by CBS in 1997? You'll notice as we get closer to the end of the game, the questions did get harder. That is intentional.
Repeat the question again, please.
Which superhero team had a failed television pilot episode produced by CBS in 1997? And after you find out what the answers are, you're going to have to Google this because the images are glorious.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I actually watched it recently.
Oh, my God. You are such a dork.
Why do you think I'm on this show?
Even if it's not the one you're thinking of, you're a dork for going back and watching a failed pilot from 1997.
Hey, I also watched the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie. So
I'm not familiar with that one. Which one was that?
That's it the one that nobody's seen.
What happened was in the 90s, I think it was Fox, had the movie rights to the Fantastic Four, and they were about to expire because if they don't make a movie every so often, they lose the rights back to Marvel.
Right.
So, I mean, it was never intended to be released. The studio just said, hey, we've got to pump something out real quick just so that we can keep the rights. So they got the king of C movies, Roger Corman, to just churn out a Fantastic Four movie real quick.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was so horrible that they were just embarrassed for it to be seen and locked it in a vault somewhere.
That's amazing.
You can occasionally see clips of it online until they try to get it taken down.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's one of those things.
But is everybody locked in?
We are locked in.
Yep.
All right, so let's start with Team Britain. Team Britain, what is the name of the team that had a failed television pilot produced by CBS in 1997?
We had no idea on this, so we were trying to put things together. Like, it's a bit late for the Flash TV show. It's a bit early for anything else that we could think of. So we went really, really random on this.
Obscure.
We were really obscure, didn't we? We went with Challenges of the Unknown.
Oh, wow. You really did go obscure.
Okay. Team America, what did you go with?
Justice League.
Yeah, we went with Justice League.
Justice League. And Team Colonials, what did you go with?
Generation X.
Generation X. So I remember, before I give you the answer, I'll digress. Mm-hmm. I remember Generation X's TV pilot, but it was on Fox.
That's what I was thinking.
It was not on
CBS.
When
I had it, I thought it was Fox.
I don't know what Challenges of the Unknown is, but you should have gone for the obvious. It was Justice League.
It was kind of there, but I couldn't make the connection. It was felt too late or too early for... It was like a weird time frame.
Man, go back and look at the pictures of this. It was the ice and fire lineup of Justice League that they tried to do.
Wow.
It wasn't like Superman, Batman stuff. It was the crappy Guy Gardner Justice League.
Whoa.
I got a bonus question for you because the giant nerd that I am, I've actually seen it. Who played the Martian Manhunter?
I've only seen pictures online. I haven't watched it. Who?
It was David Ogden Stiers.
That's right.
Are you serious?
That's right.
I kid you. David Ogden Stiers in briefs and a cape slathered in green body paint.
Wait, the fattest Martian Manhunter ever.
Martian Manhunter?
Sorry.
The Billy Martin Manhunter.
I'm multitasking over here. So Team America is out to a commanding lead. It's 140 for the Americans, 100 for the Colonials, and 105 for the Brits.
Really? Pulling it back.
Yeah, still alive.
That will not stand.
Okay.
Right, lads, it's been a pleasure. This has been fantastic.
The red coats are coming. The red coats are coming.
The red capes.
All right, so.
The red capes are
coming. Movie villains is your round five final question. Movie villains. Who played the clown in 1997's theatrical release, Spawn? What actor played the clown in 1997's theatrical release, Spawn?
Locked in.
Locked in.
Locked in.
You're locked in. You're locked in. The Colonials are thinking it over.
Thinking it over.
Thank you for bringing some music into the show here.
I did it earlier.
You did, and we have been missing that a little bit. We usually sing more. You locked in?
We're locked in.
Okay. You can talk. It's
By the
okay.
way, did anybody hear John say the name?
Our name.
I heard the pronoun.
Okay.
I didn't hear the name. That's All right, funny. So we're going to start with Team America on this. Team America, what are you thinking? Who played the clown in 1997's theatrical release
he
of
did
the movie
a fabulous
Spawn?
Job. I watched him recently on Chef, John Leguizamo.
Okay. Colonials, what are you thinking?
Yeah, we're going to go with John Leguizamo as well.
And Brits?
Yeah, Mark just threw a pen at me and said, here, you're saying that. So we've gone for Tim Roth.
We thought it was Tim Roth.
Tim Roth. The correct answer is John Leguizamo.
Damn you and your films.
All right, after the fifth round, it is 105 for Team Britain, 110 for the Colonials.
Boo, boo.
And 150 for Team America. I did not expect that you guys would be a powerhouse team. I tried to set the teams up as evenly as possible, but apparently I made a mistake.
Now, is he listed in the credits of the movie as the clown and not the Violator? Because the Violator was the name of the...
The Violator, there are two characters involved there, and I studied this. So the clown is a character he played. Violator was a CGI thing.
Exactly.
The clown is where the actor was acting.
Okay.
I'm really impressed with the fact that you researched this junk, because that was a horrible movie and you still researched
it. I liked that movie.
Did I liked you really? That movie too.
Oh man, I hated it. That was, but then again, I've got that Todd McFarlane hatred, so I mean.
Hey, that was the movie that gave us Michael Jai White. Come on.
Yeah. Who's he?
He's the guy who should be playing the Black
Panther. Remember the in the Dark Knight?
I am joking. I know who he is.
Okay.
Round six. This is the last round before the final. Still plenty of room to move. Category is heroes. What two characters were the original Birds of Prey? The original Birds of Prey. I need two characters.
Okay, we're locked in.
All right, Team America.
Yes, we're locked in with that DC question of yours.
Representing your country well?
Fine.
Team Britain, representing your country not so much?
Whoa, yeah, we're good. We're good.
There's still time.
What, too soon?
You're right, there is still time. Are you guys locked in?
Yeah, we're locked in.
Locked in. Okay, we're waiting on the Colonials. You guys in?
Yeah, we're in.
We're in.
All right, well, we're going to start with you.
All right.
So I want you to tell me what two characters were the original Birds of Prey.
We're not sure, but we're going to go with Black Canary and Batgirl.
Okay. I heard Black Canary and Batgirl. Team Britain, what are you thinking the answer is?
We went with Canary, but we went with Barbara Gordon as opposed to Batgirl.
All right. And Team America, what are you thinking?
Okay. Actually, it was three characters in it.
Hold on.
Listen to me. Before saying no, listen to me. There's three characters in it, but the two that you're talking about are Huntress and Black Canary. Oracle backed them up.
Dude, I researched it.
Okay.
The answer is Oracle, Barbara Gordon, and Black Canary.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
We did have Huntress down as a third, though.
Huntress was a part of it very early on, but they brought her in. They formed the group and were bringing her in to see if she would fit as the third person.
All right, I'm going to have to take your word for it on that.
Since Barbara Gordon was Batgirl
did not start the group because Kathleen Kane was Batgirl as well.
You're nitpicking, Jonathan.
You're nitpicking.
I'm reaching.
In all
There's
fairness,
a difference.
Though, Cassandra Cain was also Batgirl. At Stephanie Brown was also Batgirl.
There you go. Thank you.
Even though I still disagree.
All right. So make sure I got that right.
No, none of us got it right.
They did.
No, they got
the
it.
We did.
Right. You guys got it right? Okay. Yeah. Excuse me, guys. Jeez,
he just called you nobodies.
Whoa.
That's so not true.
That's what I heard.
Screw you, Mom.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Jonathan made me do it.
Okay, round six, second question. Storylines. I really enjoyed the Blackest Night storyline and all of the different energy colors and emotions that power them. Tell me, what is the source of power for the Indigo Rings?
Locked in.
Oh, the Brits are showing their DC skills over here.
We are also locked in.
Colonials are like, not so fast, redcoats.
You had Will. You had Love with the stupid Star Sapphire. You
Fear.
Had Fear with the yellow one. You had Greed with orange. Yeah, Larfleet, he's a great character.
I almost made this our midpoint question where you had to name all
that
of them.
That would have been a great
Yeah, that would have been a good
almost,
one.
Way. Almost did that.
I'll throw you guys a bone. It was indifference.
It was what?
Apathy.
So let's go ahead. And
All right. So we're going to start with Team America since you were debating. Hope. All right. Brits, what are you thinking?
I think Hope is blue, and I think the purple lantern was formed from the Star Sapphire crystal and made into a lantern in the Volume 4 Green Lantern before Sinestro Corps War. And I think it's Love, maybe.
So I said Indigo.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, Love. Yeah, Indigo is Love. Blue's Hope.
Okay. And Colonials?
We are going with Compassion. The Indigo tribe was powered by Compassion.
That's right.
The correct answer is Compassion.
High five, man. Well played.
Blue was Hope.
Okay.
And Love was Purple, the Star Sapphires.
That's it.
Indigo was a different color altogether. Last question. Category is continuity. What numeric designation has been added to the word Earth in the Marvel Universe to indicate when a story takes place in the primary continuity?
We're locked in.
You said Marvel, correct?
I said Marvel.
Locked in.
Wow.
We have no idea, will I? I don't know.
Throw us a DC bone here.
I just did two DC questions in a row before asking this hard-ass Marvel question.
I'm very happy to have my Marvel coat back on. It's feeling very nice and comforting over here.
Yeah, look at that.
We're locked in, I think. You can deliver it.
All right. Colonials, you've put it in pretty quick. What is the number that has been added to the word Earth to designate a primary continuity?
It is Earth 616.
Earth 616. Americans, what do you think?
Yep.
616, yeah.
Yep, 616.
And Brits, what do you think?
We went down the Roman route and went for X for number 10.
Earth X. That was a totally different kind of comic book, if you know what I mean.
No, actually, that was a Marvel comic. Earth X was a Marvel comic back in the 90s.
Just trying to make a bad joke, brother.
Okay.
The answer is Earth 3. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The answer is Earth 616. Good job.
It's a good thing you clarify that, Jonathan. Christopher was reaching for a gun.
It was a squirt gun. I was okay.
Well, you know, Jonathan, a lot of the modern comics, they say Earth 616 a lot more than they used to. Now that we have a lot of alternate timelines and Marvel and alternate realities, they use 616 quite a bit more than what they used to.
So going into the final question, the score is 160 for Team America, 130 for the Colonials, 115 for the Brits. We have some high, high scores. The way the final question works is this. I'm going to give you a category. Each team is going to wager up to their total number of points. If you get the answer right, you will gain that many points. If you get the answer wrong, you will lose that many points. I'm going to ask you to put characters in order by earliest creation date to latest creation date. Oof. All right, everybody has their wagers written down?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. I will require you to show me the number after we've answered the question.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to put these comic book heroes in order by first appearance. Earliest at the top to most recent at the bottom. Your heroes are Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
Green Lantern.
Wait, hold on. Time. Which Green Lantern are we talking about here?
First appearance of the character Green Lantern in any form.
Any form. Thank you.
Okay.
Batman and Captain America. Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Batman, and Captain America. I made sure that these were separated by as far apart as possible, but they are all in a range of no more than 3 years. All right. Locked in. That's the first team to make it.
All right, we're locked in.
Okay, so everybody's locked in.
Yep.
We are going to start with Team America.
Okay.
Team America, what order did you put them in?
Okay, Batman was 1. He was the earliest. Wonder Woman 2. Captain America 3. And Alan Scott Green Lantern was 4.
Okay, I didn't need that much detail, but thank you.
That's what I'm here for.
Team Britain.
Yeah.
Please put those heroes in order for me.
We had the same order, so we had Batman at 1, but then we had Captain America first as a...
Second.
So we had Batman, then Captain America as a bit of a reaction to the war. That's like our flawed logic. Wonder Woman, and then as you say, Alan Scott Green Lantern last. So Batman, Cap, Wonder Woman, GL.
All right. And Colonials. What is your order?
All right. I didn't know where to put Green Lantern, so... That was the one I struggled with. But Batman, then Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and finally Captain America.
Wow.
Okay. All right. So everybody has a different answer.
Potentially everybody is wrong and potentially one team is right.
Here we go. In 1939, Detective Comics number 27, Batman. In 1940, All-American Comics number 16, Green Lantern.
Wow.
No way.
In 1941, March, Captain America number 1, wow. Captain America. And in December 1941, All-Star Comics number 8, Wonder Woman. The order is Batman, Green Lantern, Captain America,
never guess.
Wonder Woman.
So no one got it right.
So nobody got it right. That doesn't mean that the game is over, though, because it comes down to your wagers.
Yes.
So... Let's start with the Brits. Brits, what did you wager? Hold up your number for me.
All in.
All in. That is 115 points. Team Britain finishes with nothing. Zero. Colonials.
We went all in, too.
All in, 130.
Tied second.
Colonials finish with zero in a tie with Team Britain.
High five, Brit. We both lost the war.
Team America?
101.
They bet 101, missed it, and finished with 59 points. Final score. Team America with 59. Team Britain with zero.
Yes.
Team Colonials with zero.
Yeah. Woo! High five for the losers.
They didn't even give you a high five. That was just sad, you guys. Yeah, they were trying to high five their loser brethren, and you didn't high five them.
Loser brethren.
They are in England.
You realize that. It's a virtual high five.
All right, so that's the end of the show. I'm not going to go through a lot of the rigmarole that I do at the end of most shows because this was a special episode, but I do want to give thanks to everybody who played today. Our friends Daniel, my brother Bob, our friend John, my normal co-host Chris. Chris, why did I call you Chris?
I have no
idea. My normal co-host Chris, and our friends across the pond, Mark and Lev.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Thanks, guys. You guys were awesome.
Once again, your websites, twoshotstothehead.com and excellence-expected.com. Highly recommended. You guys should all check those out, especially Two Shots to the Head as it relaunches as the DC Universe podcast. That's very exciting.
Can I give my website also? TrivialWarfare.com.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, not too shabby.
I like that. Yeah. If you didn't know yet, we do have our app out on the Google Play Store. So if you're an Android user, you do have a way to subscribe now. Just go to Google Play, search for Trivial Warfare, and you can download our app for free. All right, Chris, why don't you get us out of here?
Okay. Well, guys, thanks again. Everybody, just a fantastic episode. It was a lot of fun. Our friends from afar, thank you again for taking your time. I don't even know what time it is over there, but we're really grateful for you guys taking it and doing it, and really look forward to listening to y'all's podcast now that I know a little bit more about it. So you guys can reach us at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivial with an L, warfare@gmail.com, one word. And until next time, that's Jonathan. That's Mark, that's Lev, that's Daniel, that's Bob, that's John, I'm Chris, and this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Later.
Jonathan, can I dive in, man? Sorry, the webcam is giving us a superb view of your crotch. I mean, I was liking that, but I didn't know how long we were recording for.
Well, it's a different kind of show if we go that way.